Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Nobody knew that I was sexually abused as a child. I kept it in. I never felt comfortable talking about it. My husband didn't know. My best friend didn't know. I didn't tell anybody.
I'm Jim Burns, and today on Homeward, we're going to talk about a topic that I know needs to be discussed, but frankly, it's one that I wish I didn't have to talk about. My guest today on Homeward is author and educator Jan Morrison, and we're going to talk about the issue of sexual abuse. If you've been affected by the trauma of sexual abuse, then I'm asking that you stay tuned, because I believe that you'll find help and hope in the next 30 minutes. If you have children, well, I strongly suggest that you stay tuned as well. The statistics show that a staggering number of kids, by the time they graduate from high school, will be sexually abused. You'll learn what you can do to help prevent it from happening to your kids and hear a most amazing story on Homeward. So stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU has more than 9,900 graduate and undergraduate students right now, representing all 50 states, Guam, Puerto Rico, the Armed Forces Pacific, and 30 different countries. Really creates a rich and multicultural experience. If you have a college student or a soon-to-be student in your world, we highly recommend you check out the APU link on our website at homeward.com. Today's program, not designed for young children at all, even high school kids. Going to take some walking through with it. Jan Morrison is with us. She's written an outstanding book called A Safe Place. She's going to talk about healing from sexual abuse. So if you've got young children with you right now, turn off the radio or the computer. Make sure you listen somewhere away from them. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a very important day on the Homeward broadcast. We're talking about sexual abuse, and we have Jan Morrison with us. I've been looking forward for a long time to have her on our broadcast. We're talking about healing from sexual abuse. It's going to be hopeful, but we're also going to talk pretty bluntly about some of the issues and the problems and the pain in this particular issue. She's the founder and the president of Tree of Rest. It's a nonprofit service and teaching organization that promotes healing from sexual abuse, and she speaks on this subject to thousands of people around the country, as well as in Latin America. She's the author of the award-winning book, A Safe Place, A Guide for Living Beyond Sexual Abuse. Jan, welcome to our program.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Well, I'm so happy that you could be with us, and the reason I'm happy is because there's a lot of people who have been sexually abused or have children who have been sexually abused. They know somebody who's been sexually abused, and it's still so painful they can't talk about it, and sometimes they need people to just bring it up. Sometimes they feel like they're all alone. Now give us a picture of the problem of sexual abuse just here in the United States.
Well, statistics say that like one in four women by the time they're 18, mm-hmm. and one in six to seven males, depending upon who you're getting your statistics from, are sexually abused by the time they're 18.
Now, that's an incredible statement. I speak to kids. And so if I'm looking out an audience, just last week I was in Louisville, I spoke to 3,000 kids. I'm looking at those 3,000 kids. Now I say that probably 1,800 of them were young women. They were probably 16 average, but by the time they're 18 or 19, at least 25% of them will have been sexually abused.
At least.
When you think about it, I was talking about commitment to Christ. But in reality, if they've had the pain of sexual abuse, they're running it through the grid of the pain and the trauma that took place in their life, aren't they?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that we believe lies. They're running through distortion rather than
yes.
truth.
No, and that's important to bring up.
Yes.
Now help us right from the beginning to define child sexual abuse. It varies a little bit from state to state, not too much anymore, but it does still vary. Give us your definition.
Sexual abuse is any contact between an adult and a child for the purpose of stimulating the adult to be used for the purpose of stimulating other adults.
There's probably some folks who are adults who just heard that definition and went, wait, that was me. I didn't even know I was sexually abused, but I still have a hole in my heart. What you just said, it wasn't where there was sexual intercourse, but there was something that really traumatic happened to them, and it makes sense for them now, even in terms of how they deal with their own sexuality, how they deal with relationships. You find that sometimes adults hear a definition like that and say, oh my heavens, you're talking about me.
And they have a lot of issues in their lives that they don't have, because they don't have anything to do with sex. They have to do with trust, and they have to do with intimacy, and not just sexual, but emotional intimacy. And because they have they don't connect that with the sexual abuse, because for them it was a sex act, and it wasn't for the perpetrator, and it doesn't affect us. It's just a sex act. So therefore, they have these issues in their life, and they don't understand they have to do with the fact that they were abused or had something happen to them when they were younger.
Well, you say that each abused person is unique, but deep inside, all abused people have something in common. They feel lonely.
Awfully lonely. But even as much as it's out there today, as sex is out there and the issue of abuse is talked about, and I think there's a television program, Law and Order, has a special program. And even though it's out there like that, even though other people look at it and say it's out there, those of us who've been abused look at it, or would have looked at it before any healing, and said, but that's just fiction. It doesn't happen in real life
that. Exactly. In fact, as a youth pastor years ago, I remember a woman talking to me. I'd written a book on sexuality, and she said, you know, it's a great book, Jim, but you didn't bring up sexual abuse. And I said, well, I know about sexual abuse because there are a handful of kids in my youth group. This is one of the larger youth groups in America. And she said, oh, Jim, you've made a big mistake. And she said, let me write you a talk. So she actually wrote a talk for me, pretty good deal for a youth pastor who's trying to, you know, give three talks a week. And she wrote this talk, and so I gave it to my kids and several hundred kids. An unbelievable amount of kids just sort of showed up and wanted to talk just that week. And it changed the way I did ministry because of that, because there were kids who had not felt comfortable talking to us, and because we even brought up the subject.
It's not just loneliness either. The big issue for us is shame.
Yeah.
There's shame. So much shame attached to it.
Right. Help us understand that aspect, because you would think, wait, no, I didn't do anything.
No, that's not what we think.
But a lot of folks who've been sexually abused say, no, it was probably my fault.
There was something happened. My first perpetrator was my step-grandfather, and I was 8. My papa, I thought, was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because my mother ran off and left me when I was 5 and left me locked in a closet. And then my aunt came in. She kept me for a while and came in and said she didn't want me in the house anymore. And I found out years later that she had cancer. And she just didn't want me to see that in her. But all I knew was she didn't want me in the home. And then I was sent to live with my grandmother, and I came home one day, and I heard my dad saying to my aunt in the house, of course, my dad didn't know I was there, so he didn't say this for me to hear. But he said, I guess having a kid in the house was too much for Mom, and my grandmother had a heart attack. So when my father remarried, and I got a step-grandfather, that the women in my life came and went. The men, my dad was the only thing that was stationary and stable in my life. So I associated women with, you know, here today and gone tomorrow, and men with stability. So when I got a grandfather out of this, I thought Papa was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he was my first sexual perpetrator. So when I looked at myself, I thought, there's only two people involved in this. There's me and Papa, and Papa's good. So who does that leave to be bad?
Does it intensify? You were 8, so you're looking at it through the glasses of an 8-year-old. And as you get older, does the shame intensify?
Oh, yeah. Because I would look back on it as I got older, and I'd think, I could run, I could scream, I could kick. I fought all the time with my sister. You know, I could do all those things. Why did I just lay there and let that happen?
And Why did you just lay there?
And the answer that I came up with at that age is quite different from the answer I have now, of course. But the answer at that age was because I wanted it to happen. But now I know that, you know, Papa would let me sit on his lap. He would, you know, hug me and take me places. Papa was actually just a drunk, and anybody could go, you know, he just didn't care
who was sitting
on his lap. Hung around or anything. But I would look back at that and think, you know, I must have really been bad, and I wanted something. I made Papa be bad. But now I know that any child should be able to sit on an adult's lap, should be able to hug an adult's neck, should be able to kiss an adult without paying for it with sex.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I got out of your book, A Safe Place, A Guide for Living Beyond Sexual Abuse, is the whole idea that when a child is abused, confusion reigns in their life. And you just described confusion. Now, go through a couple more years, and they're teenagers, and maybe they were abused as a child, and maybe the relationship is gone, but there's still confusion, there's still shame, there's still all this pain. How do they look at it years later?
Women look at it. It's the used merchandise thing for us. It's like I say, if you're a dress boutique and you go in, yeah, there's all these beautiful things up front, but in the back there's this damaged little rack back there, you know, that's marked down and not worth as much. And that's the way we feel about it. For males, it's the identity, sexual identity issue. Am I gay? Did this make me gay? Did they recognize I was gay? Is that one? Because males are more often abused by the same sex.
Right. Gender confusion is so, yes, important. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking about healing from sexual abuse. Jan Morrison is with us today. Don't go away. More to come on Homeward.
Very, very powerful topic. And if this is your story, or if just this conversation is causing you to ask some questions, we encourage you to get help. As a matter of fact, if you go to homeward.com, in the articles and media section, there's a tab that says articles and media. There's a search function there that says get answers. And we actually have a tip sheet called tips for how to get help. I mean, it's help that you need for finding the help that you need. And especially in this area, this is an area of great confusion for people and a great struggle. And we encourage you to seek out those resources. You'll also find a link to Jan's book's been out for a while. It may still be in print. If it is in print, we've got a link to where you can find out where to get a copy of it. And please know that this program, too, we encourage you to push the audio, subscribe to the podcast, go to homeward.com if you're not there already, hit the radio broadcast button, then hit the podcast button. That'll take you right to our site on iTunes so you can subscribe to the podcast and share this conversation with somebody who might really need to hear it. As we continue, more of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with author Jan Morrison, Healing from Sexual Abuse. Abuse is our theme today on Homeward.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Heather, I need to ask you something.
Oh, hey, Dad. What's up? Do you want the remote?
No, sweetie. Thanks.
Oh, the dishes. Oh, my gosh. I forgot it was my turn to unload the dishwasher.
No, Heather, that's not what I was going to ask you. I just wanted to know if you were free for the next hour or so.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Why?
Well, I thought you might like to get some frozen yogurt with me.
That's it? You mean I'm not in trouble or anything?
No, it's not like that. I just wanted to spend some time with you this evening, that's all.
Building a stronger relationship with your kids involves something I like to call parenting with awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. When it comes to affection, sure, your kids might act like they don't want a hug from you, but deep down, they're loving every minute of it. Begin today to make choices that will put your relationship with your kids in high gear. One way you can do that is by reading my tip sheet called Parenting with Awe. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Jan Morrison, Healing from Sexual Abuse. What an incredible story, Jan, that you just talked about in the first 10 minutes of this program. I'm blown away because what you're telling is the story of one out of four girls. It's not the exact story, but so oftentimes it does have shame. It does have confusion. It does have loneliness. Now, somebody again was listening and they say, you know what? That was my story and I've told no one. They're an adult and they are married, or maybe they've been married and it didn't work out because they really didn't do relationships well, and they could be sobbing right now. Do they years later still go and try to get the help?
Oh, definitely. And you know, the biggest enemy they have, the biggest lie that the enemy tells them is, you can't talk about this because people will think about you differently, and people, you know, they won't ever look at you the same, and they'll know there's something wrong with you, and they say all these things. When I speak in churches, Jim, I give an altar call. And I give an altar call for everybody who's been abused. And I say, you know, even if you've never told anybody, you don't have to say a word. Just by walking down this aisle, you're saying to the enemy, I am taking this out of the realm of darkness because you rule in darkness. And I'm bringing it into the light where God can rule and reign in it. And they all walk down the aisles and they're all standing there looking at me like this. And then I tell them to turn around and face the congregation. They look at me like, uh-uh. But they turn around.
That's part of their healing process.
It's part of their healing. And, you know, I have never been in a church where there wasn't some kind of appropriate response, either a standing ovation or people standing there crying or rushing up and hugging people. And because that's the lie of the enemy, is that if we tell, people are going to think there's something wrong with us. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that because he knows healing can't come as long as we keep things hidden in darkness.
Isn't that amazing? And it is the issue of the world that is hidden in darkness. You were telling me before the program about a pastor who said, it doesn't happen in our church. Mm-hmm. Well, when in fact, it does happen in the church, just as it happens outside.
But he'll never know it because no one will ever tell him, because right, that attitude comes across and people recognize that attitude and they're not going to go up to him.
And that's what I was talking about at the beginning. Where my life changed is when I could be talking on any other subject, bring up sexual abuse as an illustration, and there are people in line wanting to talk to me afterwards about their sexual abuse, not necessarily about whatever the topic was. When I do premarital counseling, I'll say, are there any abuse type issues? sometimes I can just tell by the person's face that they haven't shared with each other, and that's going to affect the marriage if they haven't talked about
it. Definitely is going to affect the marriage. And the poor husband's not going to know what's going on.
Exactly.
Because for those of us who have been sexually abused that get in marriage before we get our healing, you know, something this poor man does one day is fine, and he do the same thing the next day, and it's not fine, or he says something that reminds us of something, and all of a sudden, we're just not where he is anymore. He's not him. Right. He's a perpetrator.
Sure. They just have a hard time discerning. Now, one of the biggest issues, spiritually speaking, is it seems like a lot of the people, maybe the majority of people who have been sexually abused, say, where was God in the midst of this? What do you say to them?
I say that God was there, and because I know God was there. My rape was a drug addict that broke into my home, and I've been, always been very claustrophobic since my mother left me locked in the closet. I've been very claustrophobic. And this man held me down with a pillow over my face. And there is a time, there was, you know, any night besides this night, any day besides this day in my life up to that point, I would have screamed and kicked and fought because I would just see red if anybody tried to hold me down or tried to put their arms around me and pin my arms down to my side. And I would scream and kick and fight. But that night, I didn't. And I know that God was there. And I know that God let me be still because I know I would be dead now if I'd fought and screamed. I worked with a 16-year-old girl who asked me that question. And part of it's a long, involved story, so I won't get into all of it. But part of it was that she wanted to seduce her brother. She'd been molested by her father, and she tried to seduce her brother. And her brother wouldn't have sex with her. And so we're sitting on a bed in her bedroom. Her mother had called me. She'd heard me on another radio broadcast and gotten in touch with me, and I'd come over to talk to the girl. Mm. And we were sitting on her bed, and she said, she kept saying, why didn't God stop it? I was a Christian. Why did God let this happen? Why didn't God save me? And that's what she kept saying. Why didn't he save me? Why didn't he save me? And God said, ask her what she would have done if she had have had sex with her brother, if he would have had sex with her. And I asked her, and she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, I would have killed myself because I couldn't stand being who my father was to me, to be that to my brother. She said, God did save me. She looked at me, and her eyes got real big, and she said, God did save me. God kept you alive and brought you to this point so you could have healing in your life.
You call God in your book the truth teller.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means that the enemy lies to you about the issues in your life and about the abuse and the things that have happened to you in your life. And God will always tell you the truth about it. He'll tell you the truth about the lies you believe. He'll tell you the truth about things that have gone on in your life. He'll tell you the truth about the way you've behaved also as a result of your sexual abuse.
Now, we're going to have people call our toll-free number. We're going to have people write us to our website at homeward.com. And they're going to have a story, and they're going to have some need. What would you say to them if they were sitting across from you having a cup of coffee?
Okay, I would say the one thing I would want to give them is this. First of all, I would tell them that they're looking for the most blessed woman in the world. And I don't believe I'll ever be abused again. But if I were to walk out to my car some night and there would be somebody there, that somebody may be able to rape me. They may be able to hurt me physically because people can do that to you. They may be able to make me cry. They may even be able to hurt me bad enough to make me say, please don't do that to me again. But they can't make me believe God doesn't love me. So it's all lost anyway. You know, the whole effect that the enemy planned on it is gone because I know God loves me. And that's what I would love to give to them, that what happened to them didn't happen because God doesn't love them, because God doesn't care about them. What happened to them happened because man has choice. I don't mean man in the sense of gender. I just mean mankind has choice.
Sure. Listen, we're going to take another break. And I'm going to ask you to come back next time because I want to continue this conversation. It's far too important. When we come back, I want to talk to our listeners about what to do if you've had a sexual abuse situation or if maybe even your children have been sexually abused and you've never talked about it with anybody. I'm going to kind of go through a 4-point process with you. And at the end, there's going to be great hope. So stick around. More to come. Jan, you'll have to come back next time so we can continue this conversation.
Well, that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' 2-part conversation with Jan Morrison here on the Homeward broadcast. Healing from sexual abuse has been the theme. Jan is the author of the book, A Safe Place, which Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. You can find it anywhere. Google it. We've got a link on our website to Jan's site as well. Also, I want to remind you that this program is here to be a resource for you. If you need to go back and listen to this material again, if you'd like the full-length audio CD of this program, stay with us to the end of the program. Right before we leave the air today, I'll be giving you information on how you can get a copy of the audio CD so you can use it as a resource. And Jim, I know there are so many times we have a tough conversation like this one here on the program, and we say this is a discussion that we don't want to have, but I'm really glad that we did have this conversation.
Well, it is, and Jan, I think, is the perfect person. Yeah. She has unfortunately experienced it, but she also has a passion for trying to help people get through this process.
Yeah, right.
And actually prevent as well. You know, I have three daughters. I'm moved and motivated to make the strongest decisions we can. And at the same time, my heart goes out to people who have had this trauma. You know, Roger, more and more as I speak around the country, this is the issue that people come to me. I could be talking about sexual abstinence to kids, and yet kids will come up and say, because I use the word sexual, they'll mm-hmm. come up and talk about an abuse that happened to them. I'll talk to oftentimes women as I'm speaking to adults, and they'll say, well, you know, my trauma was, and then they go through this process. It's an issue that we have to face today, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And unfortunately, sometimes within the Christian community, we say, well, you know, pray about it, it's going to be okay.
Right.
When in fact, this trauma is affecting people's spirituality, their relationships. You know, in the book that I wrote recently, Creating an Intimate Marriage, my goodness, I felt like there were just so many people who were saying, I can't experience intimacy because of this trauma that took place in my life, the sexual abuse trauma.
Yeah, it's like a piece of debris that's kind of cluttering right. things up, and they literally, physically, emotionally, spiritually can't get around it.
Right, you're so right. And I want to leave our listeners with four things that I think we'll just have to do for our son or daughter if they begin to tell us this story. Now, mm-hmm. again, this isn't for every person, but I think it's important that we hear this because sometimes we panic, and mm-hmm. rightly so. It's an incredibly emotional experience. And the first thing I would say is make sure that you are welcoming your child's conversation, because this is something that is filled with shame and they don't want to talk about it, is to first be tactful.
Yeah.
Choose your words carefully and don't be judgmental about your child or the alleged abuser. Sometimes parents will say, well, what were you doing over at that house? Or
right.
why were you in the park? Or, you know, what are you thinking? When in fact, at this point, we need to listen to our children and let them tell the story. And frankly, if you have a story, this is not the time to tell your child that story. It's the time to listen to the child. And then be calm. You know, easy for me to say, you know, over here radio without us having a situation. But you actually have to be careful about your own reaction. If it's disgust or fear or anger, well, then it's going to confuse or it's going to scare your child. And children who have been abused, anyone who's been abused, don't want that. They need us to be calm. Also, I think we have to believe our child and be supportive. Sometimes parents will say, oh, that probably didn't really happen. You know, I mean, I know Uncle so-and-so, or I know this or that. Frankly, this is crucial.
Yeah.
It is essential that your child knows that you believe what he or she is telling you. If for some reason they were lying, and you know, all of our children have lied, we've all lied, but if they were lying, then it will be found out later. But at this point, you believe them if they've said that, and you listen, take it in, and make sure that they feel listened to and cared for. And then also assure your child that you will do whatever it takes to make sure that the abuse stops, period. They need to know that you, as a parent, are in the protection business.
Right.
You are looking out for their best interest. You're not going to put them in a situation that will make them more vulnerable in their own life. They need to know that. You know, we need to be sure that we're bringing them protection, security, love, and care. I appreciate Jan Morrison's book, A Safe Place, A Guide for Living Beyond Sexual Abuse. And I want you to tell our audience about this, because I think a lot of people could read this and get a lot of help. It's her story, but it's also things that we can do to help prevent this even in our own world.
Boy, that's a great reminder for us, Jim. And of course, if you need more information on Jan's writings, you can find a link to her website today here at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Also in the articles and media section, you can find tip sheets that will help you get the help that you're looking for. And I mentioned earlier the full-length audio CD of today's program. This is a good resource to have if you want to share it with a friend, or if you're in a small group conversation, and maybe you, for those who are survivors of sexual abuse and you want to hear Jan's story. Drop us a line. Write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, or call 800-397-9725. We'll send you a copy of this CD as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in supporting of our ministry here at Homeward, starting off this new month, and looking forward to hearing from you. And we really appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support. Jim, these resources here, I know that they're the kinds that you recommend. It's not a topic we like to talk about, but I'm grateful that we have these resources that we can be sharing with our listeners today.
Right, and I'm so glad that we can provide programs like this. You know, every day I don't want to provide a program like this. It's just not easy. crazy. But at the same time, I'm proud that Homeward takes a courageous stand to face the issues of the day. And I want to thank any of you for helping Homeward do that. We continue to grow and we continue to expand our ministry. We are grateful for your ongoing financial support. And I especially appreciate those of you who pray for us on a regular basis. More and more people are sending us emails and saying, you know what, we're praying for you.
That's so key.
And it really is neat. I was with someone just recently in the Texas area who said, I have lunch with you every day. We're on in Dallas at 12 noon.
Right.
And she said, I have lunch with you every day. And I also pray for you. And then she named my wife and my kids' names.
Wow.
I really, really did appreciate that.
Great.
Anyway, that's going to be it for today. Be sure and join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Jan Morrison. Healing from sexual abuse will be our topic again. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thank you for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.